El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but unfortunately for them, they can't, so they listen to us.
Yay!
Thank you, Bud. Bud Dickman with us, along with Robert Leonard, and welcome to the program. Our Phil Hendry Free, Phil Hendry Podcast, episode 11, featuring The Greenskeeper, which is a stone smash hit. It's the greatest phone call, the greatest single phone call that has ever been heard in the history of talk radio is that particular bit called The Greenskeeper. We feature it on episode 11 of the Free Phil Hendry Podcast. Go to our homepage, philhendryshow.com. That's on the web. And download it. Download the hell out of it. Download it for friends. Download it for yourself. Download it many times. And keep it in different places, but download it. All right. We're going to start things out the way we did last night with a discussion of immigration and what we've been doing here. Last evening, we had on Rick Shadova. Tonight, we're going to have on Raj Fanin and family to talk about immigration. These are people, in the cases of both Mr. Shadova and Mr. Fanin, they're both immigrants. Mr. Shadova, a citizen of the United States, though, from becoming a citizen as he immigrated here from England. Mr. Fanin has his green card. He is... has his work permit to work in the United States, but both men with very strong opinions about the Supreme Court's ruling on immigration. Now, last night you heard sort of, and I heard a lot of people saying that it was a kind of a theoretical argument. It was a philosophical argument that Mr. Shadova was making, saying, "Well, you know, there's no real illegal immigration in the United States." America is a land of immigrants, and so everyone that's here is here legally. Mr. Fanin, where are you from originally, sir?
Well, I come from Alexandria, Egypt. With my family came to California, and my son has been born here, and I have a brother here, and we have extended this business that we have. We do insulation, aircraft insulation.
You do aircraft insulation?
Yes, sir, to fuselage this kind of work. And to extend a shop into Arizona. We also have family in Arizona. We have people that we travel to visit. And
okay, but I just wanted to... You're from Alexandria, Egypt. You've been here how long?
We've been in California. We've been 5 years. My son... I was here 5 years. My son... was born in Alexandria, and we came to the United States.
But you said he was born in the United States.
He was born in the United States from the standpoint of going to school here, his first school here. And he is an American boy, you know. So for me, he is American, you know.
And but his place of birth was Egypt.
Place of birth, technically Egypt, but we don't... We want him to be American boy. We say the boy is born in America.
But when you provide a birth certificate or something...
Well, you know, this is a part of the problem that I had a discussion of this with some friends of mine to say, when I said my son Todd is born in America, and they said, no, he's born in Egypt. And I said to them, you know, I said, well, it doesn't matter to me, or it should not matter to you. To me, my son was born in America. And they won't let it go, you know. They're talking and talking and talking, you know.
Well, it may be a very fine point to you, but it's a significant point to a lot of Americans because we even have it.
No, I know it's significant, but I think it's a what's the word? They're obsessed about it, you know.
Well, the point that I wanted to make was, it's very important to Americans' place of birth. Our Constitution, in fact, delineates very clearly that there should be... you must be born in America to be president of the United States, for instance. So...
Well, yeah, but that may be, you know, in the Constitution.
So, but I'm saying it is very, very important. But before... I don't want to get sidetracked on that, okay?
Well, no, I not to get sidetracked, but for this purpose of this conversation, you know, to say that my son was born in America...
How old is your son?
My son is 8.
And he's been here for 5 years?
Yes, he's been here 5 years. But when he is, let me say, when he is 30.
So he's been here 5 years, but you say he's fully Americanized.
When he turns 30, if he turns 30, he's going to, who is going to know? You know, there's 3 years in Egypt, you know.
All right. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about, Mr. Finine, was this Arizona law. Much of it was, struck down. One of the provisions that is still very much alive is the right of a police officer to ask individuals that he suspects as being here illegally or he suspects of being immigrants, asking them for their legal asking them for the proof of their legal status. And
yes, this was terrible to see this. This was a last straw for me, you know.
And well, when we talked to you about that, you found that to be the most offensive.
Yeah, it's absolutely. They strike down this different things of this law, you know. But this is the last insult, you know, to say to me, I come to this country, you know, I want to see how America is going to treat me, you know, and I call my son American, you know, even though, as you say, he's born in Egypt, you know, and so then they said to me, you have to show the policeman, you know.
But everybody is subject to that.
No, everybody's not subject to this. Mr. Andy, I would ask you with all honesty and candor, are you going to be asked the police in Arizona, are you from America, you know? Are you going to be asked this?
I don't know.
Please, don't lie like these bastards do.
No, I'm not lying, sir. I just said I don't know. But if I'm to look at it honestly, I would probably say no.
You would probably say no. I can tell you for certain you will never be asked if you are illegal. But I can tell you for certain that I will be asked. And my son says to me, my son, who I said to people, this is my son. And he is my son, you know, I love him. And I said to people that I want my son to be called America. Even though he was born in Egypt, I said, make this boy, he's America. And my son said to me, Daddy, why would you want this when they, America treats you like this kind of criminal, you know? And
do you feel that it's criminalizing you that way?
Yes.
Do you feel it humiliates you in front of your son?
Well, but this is what my son said to me. Is it what my son is here? And yes, he says it makes you look. He said to me, it makes you look, Daddy, like you are nothing more than a terrorist. And I've never been a terrorist ever in my life. I would never think to do such things. Just because I come from Egypt is not to make me a terrorist.
Absolutely, sir.
And yet that's how they want to treat me. And I said to my son, I want you to be America. He said, Daddy, why do I want to be America when they look at you, the policeman, as if you're nothing more than the filth of this, of the dead, you know, the filth. The filth, you know?
Well, you know, the police officer asking you for the proof of your...
Because, you see, he's not going to ask you.
And all right, he's not going to ask me. I don't know. Can we just discuss this for a second here?
But you know he won't ask you.
Just hold on for a minute. I don't really know, man. I honestly don't know what a cop is going to look for. I have to believe, just being a novice and being a citizen and not a cop, I got to believe, well, I mean, I guess the first thing he's going to look at is, yes, what ethnicity I appear to be.
Yeah, exactly, right there. I don't know. My son told us, you know, you don't look like a Mexican, do you? Because we saw your picture and he's saying that they're rhetorical, you know?
No, your son is absolutely right. I'm a very, very... Anglo-looking guy.
Yes, and so this is what I mean, and yet I am going to be humiliated in front of my family, and I'm going to be humiliated in front of my son, who I wanted to be American. And he says, Daddy, why would they do this to you? As I drive down the road, and the Arizona police are going to pull my car over to say, you look like a brown man, you know, you look like terrorist, tell me what is your... what is your citizen or your legal status, you know?
And what do you carry with you? Your green card?
Yes, I carry my passport with a work permit, visa, and I have to show this because I'm look like a terrorist.
It's not terrorism, though, you know.
Yeah. Well, what do you call it?
It's just the illegality of being in the country.
Well, hold on. So my son said, what book are you reading? What does it mean? My son says, what book are you getting that from?
What? What does that mean?
My son, he wants to know what you said. Yeah, he says, what comic book do you read?
I'm not reading a comic. Tell your son I'm not reading any comic books. What I'm trying to figure out with you, sir, is what exactly is the criteria here, okay?
I told you the criteria is that because I look like a terrorist, they're going to humiliate me in front of my son?
Well, I don't think that's it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And I think it's different. It has to do with simple the legal status of individuals in this country. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Now, this is an interesting question because I don't know what the police officers will be told when you go out there, and what they have been told, because it has been a part of the law for some time now. It was one part of the law that was not struck down by the Supreme Court. You guys go out there and you do your thing as cops, you know, protect and serve. What about the whole thing of checking on legal resident status, citizenship? Well, if they look like they're illegals, I don't know. 877-876-7445. More with Raj Fanin in a moment on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil and the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We're online at philhendryshow.com. We're talking to Raj Fanin along with his son Todd as we are discussing the recent Supreme Court ruling on immigration and how it affects various people living in this country as immigrants. Well, last night we talked to, I don't know if you heard the show last night, Raj.
Now that you spoke with this Irishman, right?
He was an Irishman and he was a legal resident, he was a citizen. But he did say that illegal immigrants should not be stopped or hassled because he felt that immigration was really, the whole country. I mean, it was what this country was about.
Yeah, I will say that that's a point of view that, that this man is going to have about the illegal immigrant. But that's a man who's Irish, he's not going to be stopped by a police who looked at and said to him, you look like some kind of... terrorist. And what man wants to be stopped, by a police? My son would be taught where it says he's an American boy,
Even though he's born in Egypt. But I understand that.
What difference does it make,
I understand that, sir.
What difference does it make? You say he's born in Egypt. America should be glad to have a boy like this, And yet that boy looks at me to say, why is my father being treated like he has a Osama bin Laden? And I said to him, because they don't trust the Egyptian people, maybe, I don't know, But I can tell you, this is very bad. This is very bad to ask me, are you prove to me you're a citizen?
All right, 877-876.
You know what I'm saying, Phil?
No, I know what you're saying. 877-876-7445, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to this gentleman here who's a truck driver. What's your first name, sir?
Hello?
Sir? Yeah, what is your Dennis. First name? It's Dennis. Go ahead, Dennis. You're a truck driver, right?
Yeah, I live in San Antonio, but I go across the border in Laredo and Eagle Pass and all that. And every time I come back to San Antonio, they ask me, are you a citizen of the United States? I say yes. And down here in Texas, everybody that comes across the border or goes, you know, comes back across the border
they
has to
they
you
always
know,
do
tell
that.
Them I'm a citizen.
They always,
if you're not, with any showing the papers that you're what you are.
No. Every time you go across the border, they ask if you're a citizen. But they don't ask for no paper.
If you got a green card and you're coming across to work in Texas from Mexico or whatever, you have to show them your green card or whatever you show them if you cross the border in the Border Patrol.
What do you show? If you come over the border, you know, I know for a fact that people come over the border, they don't have to show no paper, you know. They're American
Well, we might be talking about two different things, like working and tourism.
No, they some people they don't ask. Like, what do they ask you for, sir?
They ask me if I'm a United States citizen. But I got a father-in-law that lives in San Diego, California.
But do they ask you for a paper?
And he has to show that
they don't ask you for no paper, huh?
No, because I'm a citizen. I'm a United States citizen. So I don't have to show them no paper because I don't have a paper. But you, if you come across...
How do they know you? How do they know you're not lying?
Your green card or whatever, and then you show them yes.
Yeah.
But your son, and if you tell him, no, he's a citizen.
My son wants to know from
Egypt. That's not right.
My son wants to know why you don't have to show no paper. Is it racism? That's what my son wants to know.
I'm 65 years old. I was born here.
Yeah.
Y'all came from Egypt over here.
But how do they know?
You got some green card,
how do they know?
But your son is born in Egypt.
But he's American. He's American.
No, he's not. He's
my son.
From Egypt.
No, he isn't. He was born in Egypt.
No, but so?
So
what is
that makes him Egypt.
No, he's not Egypt because of lives in America and plays America. In other words, this is American boy. You know what I mean?
Take it this way. In Laredo, I lived there for 16 years, and all the Spanish people come over to our schools, but they go back every day to Mexico. That's not right. We're paying for them, and they're not illegals.
It's not right for them to go back? What do you mean?
No, it's not right for them to come and go to the school.
But if you don't mind, how do they know you're not lying? If you say, I'm an American citizen, right? And how do they know you're not lying? You could lie. You could be lying.
Probably somebody would lie, but they could tell. But, I mean, they've done it so long, they're... You know, 50 smart years
how they
the,
know.
Or 20
you know
years
they know
the with the Border Patrol, and they know by telling you the way you, if you act nervous or your facial, if you're not looking at them when you tell them you're in the United States, they know when you're lying and when you're not lying.
Yes, you know how they know? The biggest part of that is if your face is brown as opposed to looking European. That's the point you're not saying. You're not saying that.
I'm dark. Put it that way.
My son wants to know what part of... My son says you must look... what did you say, Todd?
He's on the way.
He said bleached out.
What do you mean bleached out?
Like a white man.
No.
Well, whatever.
I can see my picture of me, and I'm darker than some
other Mexican?
People.
Are you Mexican? See, that's what I'm trying to say, and that's what Todd
son. White, part black.
I'm trying to get my son to understand, you know, that America, he says, well, Daddy, how come they let this Mexican, you're not Mexican, but my son thinks that you look like a Mexican, but you don't have to show no paper, but I have to show paper, and I'm not Mexican.
Yeah, I know some... Spanish people that have got blue eyes, blonde hair, blue eyes, they still have to show their papers when they come across.
The Mexicans do.
No, he's talking about blue-eyed. This is very weird because we're talking about border stuff, and what we really ought to be talking about is the actual state law, driving around state law. But anyway, I thank you very much, Dennis, for your call.
Okay, Bobby.
Safe travels out there. All right, I got to take a break, sir. 877-876-7445. More of your phone calls coming up with Raj Fadin. and his son Todd. Always a treat. Here on the real, on the world famous, I should say, and the real famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Well, hold on. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to talk this half hour. We have Raj Fineen on with us. We've been discussing the Arizona immigration law. I know that you're driving with your family right now, Raj. Are you coming back from California?
Totally. I'm coming back from Tucson.
All right. Arizona. Okay. Now, one of the things that that you brought up and has there's been some reaction is the fact that your son was born in Egypt.
But he's American, you know.
Like I said, Americans, it kind of rubs Americans the wrong way a little bit.
Look, and again, I want to say, sometimes my language, my son says that these people must get with it because, look, you know, my son was on this game network, you know, he's on a G4, the game network. And he beat these boys in a Nazi, I forget what this is, a Medal of Honor, you know. Okay, so he plays good video game. But my son also speaks two languages, English and Arabic.
Well, your son speaks nothing but Arabic to you. I haven't heard him speak English at all.
That's correct. He's not going to speak English unless he has to. This is because he has a very difficult time trusting this culture, given it the way that we are treated, you know, and through everybody saying that maybe I'm a terrorist, maybe I'm here illegal, and this and that, you know.
All right, but the question was, why do you keep calling your son an American when your son is clearly born in Egypt? Don't make a comment yet on that. I want to get to a phone call. We have Victoria on the line. Hello, Victoria. And Victoria,
Hello.
My understanding is you're also a Native American?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay, so what does that mean?
Native American.
Okay.
What does that mean?
What it means is...
The first thing first is if you want to call your children, Americans, they need to learn the American language. Be born in America is called American.
But also, if you are, if you're sort of, let me put it this way. America is a country that you not only you get born, but you also have to figure the country out. And my son Todd is a very smart boy. He's figured a lot of stuff out, you know, about music, you know, games. And
I guess if you want to, you have to be, to come to America, you have to be civilized and at least act like American. Because us Americans have to watch out for people, terrorists, that have bombed us. And we got to watch out for anything and everything that comes out of the country of America. Other country, we have to watch out. The policemen that do go out there and put their lives, you know, out for us, all the military and whatnot, they do it for a reason, just to keep listening.
Well, I know. But you see...
And they're the ones putting themselves on the line.
But my son already is very much American, you know?
American.
And
if you want to be an American, then, you know, it's I'm sorry that you feel that they're, you know, showing you in a different way that they don't, you know, they're kind of what, you know.
Yeah, my son wanted to ask you. My son wanted to ask you, why are you
talking
sticking up for America?
Arabic, whatever, but he can't talk to me in English, which I don't understand what he's saying.
No, he just wanted to know why, as an America, as an Indian, you don't speak up for me and for Todd. Why do you speak up for America?
because
well, that's an interesting question.
Yes, but
Native Americans were born here.
What is your son saying?
What did you say, Todd? Remember Wounded Knee is what he say.
Well, that's a pretty cheap shot, isn't it?
What?
Native Americans remember love Native America. They're the first ones here. And all Americans, we're all America. And here in America, this is where we live. And, you know, everybody from other countries are trying to come in, but you don't have, you know.
You know something? You will always have, as American Indians, you will always have Custer and you know what you do, that will always
have nothing to do with it now. See, I live as a Native American and I live in America for living just like every other American. And that has nothing to do with anything now.
My son, I'm sorry, my son interrupted. Don't interrupt us. He wanted to know what Indian
I can
talk Indian
too, but the most important one is English because I live in America.
Are you a code talker?
All right, let's knock it off with code talker. He wants to know if you're a code talker.
No, the family that was never a code talker, but we also helped Americans, and which I am American. We helped each other when we needed it.
Code talkers were Marines. They were American Indians who were Marines, and they spoke a certain language that the Japanese could not interpret, and they used that language in communications in World War II.
The reason why that was done was because we wanted to do it. We did it.
Yes,
for a reason, to
absolutely. Yeah, there was not. There was no
American
coercion.
Why would you do you messed up the mind of the Japanese man to help the white man? I don't get it.
What do you mean he messed up the mind?
When you're talking code talk, like
what you're trying to be racist now? See?
No, but I just know that the white man, it was like what's his name, Custer, and the next thing you know, after Custer, you're messing up the brown man to help the white man.
What is this messing up the brown man?
But I'm not
the Japanese.
But I'm not brown. See, I might be.
No, not you.
Brown skin.
You are.
But I'm not brown.
Over.
I don't see myself as brown.
But you jacked around your brethren because you know American Indian come from Asia. And so at one time, American Indian was like, Japanese. And
Boy, you're doing some real twists and flips, man. What are you trying to say?
What I'm saying is they did the code talk to mess up the mind of like a Jap. Not a Jap. But
don't say that, okay? You know, you're talking more racist talk here, Raj, than anything else I've heard.
No, I'm not being racist.
Well, don't say Jap.
Well, that's what they did.
So what has this got to do with what we're talking about, man? We're talking about legal residents. Here's a lady who is an American Indian. She has very clearly said that she does believe that there should be some legal residents ascertained and that it makes sense. And given the history of her own people, yes, there's been, nonetheless, we're Americans, and the country needs to be protected.
It happens, in our own kind. So, you know what? It's for a reason, to keep the American people safe.
Todd wants to know, how do you keep the winos off the reservation?
It's all how you want to come into America. It's all how you want to do that, you know, and if you weren't born here, you want to move here, then it's all right. I mean, we don't have a problem with that.
Right. That's something to continue to explore. Thank you very much, Victoria, for your call. 877-876-7445. So you understand that, you know.
No, I don't understand when they.
Well, can I finish?
No, but let me say, because my son, you know, I love my son, and he said to me that.
Can you please speak English here?
I'm sorry. What? Yeah. Todd said that you see, American Indian, when they become a code talker, so they went to Marines, like you said, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So now they are a Marine, and they're World War II, and they're a code talk. But think about it. They were code talking to mess up the mind of, like, another Indian only, you know, what the, only smaller. So
what do you mean another Indian only small? Japanese?
Yes. So
what is this thing about another Indian? So you are really, you man, I'll tell you, you're focusing in on race, you're focusing in on ethnicity, you're saying the American Indian had more or should have had more loyalty to the Japanese than they had to the Anglo-dominated American society. Is that it?
Couldn't have said it better myself, Bill. Yeah, God said bravo, exactly. And so
in other words, there is no national cohesion in your mind. There's no national allegiance. There is cultural, ethnic, language allegiance.
Yes, that to me, this is strength, you know.
Well, that's not what America's about. America's different. America's different from a lot of countries that way. We are a country about laws, and we're a country about a society put together on the basis of our law. And it was rooted in individual freedom. It was rooted in representative government. It was rooted in a kind of structured society where we could have freedom and at the same time have security. So America is a country about laws. America is not a country about languages and tribal rituals and things like that.
Boy, oh boy, listen to you. Yeah, Todd wants to know if you're going to be in the Distinguished Speaker Series so he can get his ticket.
I know. You know what? Your son is a real smartass, if you don't mind.
I'm annoying. I feel I'm sorry, but, you know, I think my son's bringing... I think he brought up...
What is the Distinguished Speaker Series?
He's being a little bit of a smart ass there, but when you lay it out like that, you know, you forget that that may be how you see things, but that's not how life is. And I'm driving along, and you say this is a country of laws. Okay, fine. But then I'm stopped by the Arizona Police Department or whatever they're called to say to me, well, are you a citizen? And if I say to him, why are you stopping me? You know, he's going to say, well, because you look like, you know, Omar Sharif or something. Yeah. What says you look like Lawrence of Arabia? And I said to him,
what cop said that to you? Will you tell your son to be quiet, please?
No. What cop said that to me?
Yes.
No cop yet, but I'm saying...
No cop yet. So what you're doing is you're projecting and getting... crazy.
Well, you know, let's not get into this psychobabble, okay?
And what psychobabble?
Projecting. Like, you know, okay, Dr. Joy Brown.
You know, I got to tell you something. If I was sitting there with that kid of yours, I'd smack him.
Oh, my God. Did you hear that thought? Did you, you would hit my son? You? You know, in my culture, if you were to strike my son, I would show you the bottom of my shoe. And do you know what that means?
Yes.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't. I know you think you do, but you don't.
Okay, what does it mean?
It means, F you. And I'm whispering to be a...
Yeah, that's what I thought it meant.
It's like giving someone the finger. You know the finger, Todd? The finger, like the middle finger. Now you're bugging. You're starting to bug me too, Todd.
All right, you know, if you don't shut that kid up, something's going to happen, and it won't be good.
Well, get a load of you with all...
877-876-7445. We're talking about immigration, and in this most recent exchange with Raj Fanin and his son, Todd, the question is this. Because Todd was born in Egypt... and lived there for the first 3 years of his life, but came here as a three-year-old. Is he American or is he Egyptian? And it is Mr. Fanin's opinion and the opinion of his family members that Todd is very much an American child. 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. With me is Raj Fanin and his son, Todd. Mr. Fanin is a legal resident here in the United States in the Los Angeles area. His son, born in Egypt, raised here in the United States for the past 5 years. Your son is 8, correct?
Yes, and Phil, I wanted to...
Hold on for just a minute. I just want to make sure. Your son is 8 years old?
Yes, sir, yeah.
Okay. You say he's an American?
Yes, he's very very much American. And
so you don't recognize the difference here between where you're born and where you aren't born?
I mean, yes, in certain countries, yes, like Egypt or countries of the Middle East, because we are trying, we are fighting for our self-determination, you know, and to fight for our national identity, you know.
And you don't think America is fighting for that?
No, America, what do you mean? America, everyone knows that in America you have, you know, all kinds of people. No, you know.
So you just think you're going to call your son an American even though he's born in Egypt? He's here. He has kind of, have you attempted to make him a citizen?
Well, my son can become a citizen because he came here.
No, he cannot, sir. No.
Yes, he can.
No, he cannot. He can become a citizen by virtue of his parents' citizenship, if I understand it correctly. You know, but you're not an American citizen.
No, you don't understand.
No, I don't think you understand.
Let me ask my son.
He's an 8-year-old boy, sir. Why do you got to keep asking him questions?
Because he knows. Okay, he was angry. He said something that I don't want to repeat, to be honest with you. And
angry with who, me?
Yes, sir. No, Todd. I'm sorry. I apologize to you for this.
Well, you know what, sir? If he's saying something rude to me, the more I hear from this kid of yours, excuse me.
But he's my son, sir.
I understand he's your son, but the more I hear from him with his mouth and his wisecracks and the fact that he's an American kid but he won't speak English, the fact that he's, he wants to be an American kid but all he can do is put the country down, it's very, very strange. Let me go to a phone call here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And it's Sebastian. Go ahead, sir. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, thanks for having me. You know, first of all,
yes, sir.
I just have to say that Raj and his son are completely indicative of their people and the kind of people that come over here and view the United States as a game. You know, how can I use the system to benefit me? They never assimilate. And God, I really wish they would just leave, you know, and go somewhere where they are happy. But secondly, what I wanted to call
like
about
America.
Originally, what I wanted
I like
to call
America.
About originally, no, you don't. You view it
yes,
as an opportunity to exploit. No, you don't.
It's a very good point the gentleman's making. That
now,
in America, we want people to assimilate. Maybe in Europe, they let people sit in their own neighborhoods, and it becomes a very strange situation in Europe. Look at Britain. But in our country, sooner or later, you can't help but assimilate.
I want to be, my son is American.
He doesn't even speak English. Anyway, I'm taking up your time, Sebastian. Go ahead.
No. I guess the point I wanted to make, though, is just as important as illegal immigration, I think we really need to have a conversation about the automatic birthright citizenship, because it invites all kinds of other problems. It invites, and not just South Americans or Central Americans, but there are a lot of Europeans, a lot of Asians that come over here specifically to give birth. So, I don't like the term anchor baby because I think it's, you know, unnecessarily inflammatory. But essentially, they come over here, then they have a U.S. citizen, and then they can piggyback off that citizen to gain their own citizenship. And again, those people aren't the kind of people that are going to assimilate to our culture either. So, I feel like our culture becomes continually diluted by people that just want to exploit the system but not really become an American.
You know, I don't know this man, you know, what he said, because my son Todd was, he's American.
No, he's not.
Okay, well,
no, he's not, Raj.
Well, you just said...
And the way that your son is talking to Phil is a reflection on you as his parent, frankly. You know, which is to say you're a bad
But my
parent.
Son is outraged. My son's outraged.
Like He's I really outraged. Care. Like I really care, you know.
Well, if your children saw their daddy pulled over in a car to say, you are American, you don't look like one, that would outrage your children, you know. And so Todd was not born in America, you say, then why would you be angry for him? You say you're angry for the babies that are born here.
You bring your son over here. I mean, you put him in public school.
Yeah, but just make up your mind.
How can I use the system is what your thought was. Can I bring him over here? Can I get the free education? Can I get the bus rides? Can I get the lunch money? You know, you're here to use the system.
That's
it. It's frankly disgusting.
Well, sir, I'm no more disgusting than a policeman who says to me, let me see your papers because you look like, some kind of a Negro, you know. And
what are you talking about?
Yeah, Raj,
what do you mean, what am I talking about?
As you've already admitted, Raj, that's never happened to you. So what are you talking about?
Well, it's not yet. But after being on this show tonight, I can guarantee you the police...
Oh, come on. You know, that's exactly what this man was saying. Game in the system, try to work the system.
My son says to this gentleman, you know, flush out your headgear.
Whatever. Flush out your... Maybe if your son talked in English, that would understand him. But
exactly,
is, I don't
yeah.
care. You know?
Through the translation,
I really
loses
care.
Something.
You don't know what flush out your headgear means.
No, he doesn't. Thank you very much, sir, for your call.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It. 877-876. Phil will be back. With more news, Vernon Dozier talking about the state of education, politics, lots of things. Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy next here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry.
Oh, God.
From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Like, oh my God, I hope the teacher knew what she was doing.
Why is it so uneasy?
It's a miracle that everyone is okay today. We're grateful that they are.
Well, I mean, you got to own up and just take responsibility.
One vision has been presented.
Bastards from a basket!
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show. Radio for Patriots, by Patriots, that knows what it's talking about. This is a radio show that goes anywhere, everywhere, and all those places other talk shows cannot. State of the art. You know, State of the Union, baby. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we're also online at philhendryshow.com, where right now, if you have a backstage pass, but you must have a backstage pass, you can watch live streaming video of our show. It's what we call Phil TV in HD. And join all of us. These are all people heading over to their,
go to their widescreen.
Going over to their widescreens and watching Phil TV in HD. Booby. You check that out? And on Radio for Patriots by Patriots, we ask you also to join us as we lockstep and march over the tops of liberals and so-called progressives who want nothing more than to drive a spear right into the back of this great nation. Well, we won't let it happen. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Great to have you with us here tonight. Let's head on over to Ted's of Beverly Hills. Ted Bell at Ted's of Beverly Hills, and we're going to be... talking with Ted this hour.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Thanks very much, Phil Hendry. This is Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills in beautiful Beverly Hills, California. We'd love to have you down for our slow-roasted, all-day cooked prime rib this Sunday. Join us for Easter. And, of course, Passover, too.
That's right, Passover.
Yeah, because the Jewish people, as you know, Phil, they have their last meal, and then they do whatever they do, and these holidays are very interesting because and I say this with great respect, I'm not the most religious guy in the world, you know.
Well, it's difficult to understand all the traditions.
But you say you're Catholic, right?
I was raised Catholic, but they're similar to the Jewish faith in that there is Lent. So
you don't want to say you're similar to the Jewish faith because it's not. I don't think it's respectful.
And what isn't respectful?
Well, you're Catholic. You're Catholic, you see. You're Catholic.
Yeah.
That's not anything I don't know any Jew that wants to be compared to a Catholic.
All right, Ted, you know what? We can get into these discussions of religion at a little little later, Dino. That was very insulting.
I'm kidding around, and to that part of what I said that wasn't a joke, I think it does bear some discussion. But that's for another day. That's for another Phil Hendry Show, Ted Bell segment. But I very much do appreciate you having me on the program here tonight, Bill, because the issue at hand that you wanted to talk about, children, babies getting alcohol in these restaurants, I think it needs to be explored because I think the public is overreacting and I think that the news media is.
Well, what we had wasn't one story. Now we have two stories. I think we've actually had three stories over the last week, week and a half of toddlers being served alcohol by mistake. Now, in the one instance here, Applebee's restaurant in Madison Heights, Michigan, and the parents of a Michigan toddler accidentally served alcohol at an Applebee's restaurant last week, they have filed suit. They have filed a lawsuit against the restaurant. And we're going to listen to some of the audio from that particular story. This is an interview with CBS News. Taylor Dill Reese talks about her 15-month-old son getting drunk at a local Applebee's.
He was a little out there. He was saying hi and bye to the walls, and he eventually laid his head down on the table, and we thought maybe he was just sleepy. Nobody at the table ordered alcoholic drinks. We can't. So he definitely shouldn't have received one.
So that's just one of the mothers involved there, Ted. There was one other story.
Well, forgive me for saying this. I have to doubt the veracity of that particular woman.
Why?
Well, I think it is a little, I don't buy her attempted humor there. And look, if you're talking about something that's very serious. Then
what attempted humor are you talking about?
Well, she was trying to be funny. He was just saying hi to the walls. The lady was talking about
what, as far as I know, okay.
Yeah, as far as you know, so you say, but you don't know.
Ted, I can assure you, I've heard that audio clip over and over, and
like you watched the video clip of the six-year-old getting patted down with a hand down the diaper?
That wasn't me. That was Herb Sewell. Excuse me.
I'm sorry, but that's what I thought I heard.
Well, you heard wrong. You heard wrong. Now, that mother wasn't trying to do shtick. She's saying that this baby... Any mother that sees a 15-month-year-old child...
15-month-year-old? God almighty!
I meant 15-month-old.
You know, we're talking about alcohol, and I know that you're not drinking, but in order for us to have some credibility, this is a sponsored segment, I would hope that you would keep your mind on your business and not slop your way through this. And
I don't slop my way through my job at all. You understand that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, I don't like you intimating that I'm drinking on the job.
I'm sorry, Phil. I apologize.
We're talking about booze being served to children inadvertently. You're a restaurant owner. How does that happen?
I'll tell you how it happens, and I want people to understand that what we are dealing with is an age-old problem, Phil, and that is the problem of children in restaurants. Now, we have a very stressful situation working in a restaurant, especially a very busy restaurant, on a Saturday night, on a Friday night, a Sunday afternoon. Those are your three biggest days, and those are your three biggest parts of the day in the restaurant business. Sunday afternoon, Sunday for breakfast as well, most breakfast weekends, and, of course, your weekend dinners. And we had families in that have children that are loud. The children are a little out of control. They are running between tables. The parents don't do anything about it. And you have food servers who are becoming increasingly disoriented by that. They do not mean to serve the child alcohol. What happens is because they are so stressed out and because they are so disoriented by these loud children that when they go back to place the order, they inadvertently place an alcohol order, and their thinking is, if I can simply just quiet the child down.
And I don't understand what you mean by they inadvertently. Do they know that they're ordering alcohol, or don't they?
They know they're ordering alcohol. What they're not aware of is that they are going to give it to a child. But it is a subconscious act. Anybody in the restaurant business knows this. It's a subconscious act when you've been around a lot of loud kids. And I know that this is going to sound predictable, Phil, but I have to tell you, you know, I put it squarely on the plate of these parents. You know, I know that they want to blame us, the restaurant. I know they want to blame this or that. You know, these parents, they let these kids run wild. They let their kids scream and yell until the food server, the waitress or the waiter, can't take it any longer. They're on overload. They go back to the kitchen, and they have the bartender pour them what should be a child's drink.
Well, how do you make that mistake? See, here's my question. If I'm a food server...
The way you make the mistake is simply if the child ordered a Shirley Temple or a 7-Up or something like that, you're back at the bar and you're filling that glass with some kind of a clear liquor and then some cherry syrup or something. You know?
No, you're making this sound like they don't know what they're doing, you know?
Well, they know what they're doing, but they don't mean any harm by it. They just want it to stop. Have you ever, you know, Phil? There's a lot of old books you read about people who are tortured, and they just want the torture to end, and they'll say anything, they'll do anything. They may not be in possession of any information that the torturer wants. Maybe we could bring waterboarding into this if you want, but they'll say anything and they'll do anything to just make it stop. And when we're talking about our waiters and our waitresses and our restaurants and very valuable people that they are, they'll say anything, they'll do anything. And when I mean do anything, I mean they'll do anything to make it stop.
And to make what stop?
To make the kid, the noisy kids.
I want to get back to this idea, and we're talking to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. I want to get back to this idea that children are served alcoholic drinks by waiters and waitresses that don't mean any harm. They just want the kid to shut up. Now, this baby, this child that we were mentioning here in Michigan, and here's another story. A 2-year-old Lakeland, Florida boy was accidentally, quote-unquote, accidentally served sangria wine. And this baby nearly finished his drink in the green plastic Olive Garden cup when a waiter came over with a panicked look on his face. She'd ordered orange juice for her son, but the waiter told her the cup contained tropical sangria. The manager came over and apologized. No one offered to call an ambulance, so she and her mother rushed the boy to Lakeland Regional Medical Center, where she says he was treated for alcohol poisoning.
That was that mother's decision.
Yeah, but here is a guy, there's a waiter who said he didn't know what he did.
He was shocked.
Yes.
You are shocked. You are panicked. You don't want to do what you just did, but you have no choice. And that is, I've got to make the kids stop. I've got to make these. I've got to somehow calm them down. And I've got to somehow make my life and the serving of food and my job and everything in between more enjoyable. And so what do? You almost subconsciously go to the bar and you order a drink that finds its way to the kid.
Has this ever happened to you?
Yes, it happened to me one time. I was helping out with a very large party, and I went, and this child that they had was screaming and yelling, and a couple of them were running between tables, and I grabbed a bottle of table wine. It was a jug of Red Mountain wine, and I poured it into a sip cup. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And I remember walking over and saying, literally taking the child by the head, or just the back of the kid's head, and pushing the sip cup into the kid's mouth. And they told me, and I don't even remember, but they told me, I said something along the lines of, drink it, damn you.
Drink it, damn you. And what did the parents say?
I don't recall having any interaction with the parents. The parents themselves might have been unconscious of what was going on. But just to the audience tonight, and certainly any servers know what I'm talking about, when you are serving and you have to deal with these kids, you're going to, every now and again, order up an alcohol. You're going to try to get alcohol into that kid. You don't want to do it. You don't want to hurt anybody. But it's either you or the kid. And, you know, this is something we've got to get parents to understand.
Well, I don't understand what it is you need them to understand. I'm going to give our number here, 877-876-7445. What do parents need to understand? Do they need to accept this as some kind?
Yeah, they need to accept it as an occupational hazard. That their kid is loud, and their kid is rude, and their kid won't shut up, and that means that it's very, very likely a food server somewhere is going to try to get some alcohol into the kid. And, you know, these parents, I'm telling you, Phil, you want to talk about me and my servers, these parents come into this restaurant, my restaurant or other restaurants, and they don't care about anybody but themselves, their kid, their table, their food, and everyone else is an actor on the stage that is the grand drama of their little family. And so they wind up with the loud brat, excuse me for saying, and the rest of us have to pay in blood.
And oh, quit being so melodramatic, you know.
That's not, no. It's not melodrama. These parents let their kids run wild. They force us.
Force you to go to the bar and order up an alcoholic drink.
That's right. Our wait staff is at times so tired, they're almost in a trance from the stress of these kids' behavior.
Ted Bell joining us from Ted's of Beverly Hills on the mistaken serving of alcohol to children. This is the result, in his opinion, the result of the food server just wanting the kids to shut up and calm down so they go over and they get booze to try to tranquilize them somehow. And it's the fault of the parents for letting the kids act the way they do. So if your child is served alcohol at a restaurant, if your as was the case here in this restaurant in Michigan, this Applebee's, or this Olive Garden in Lakeland, Florida, if your child is served alcohol, it's your fault you didn't calm the kid down. 877-876-7445. Your phone call is coming up next for our guest, Ted Bell. Is there any excuse? Is there any excuse for getting our kids drunk? Or is Ted just making excuses for himself and the restaurant industry? 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Table three, all right?
Steakhouse, come on down.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. As we were mentioning, you know, it's going to be Easter time, Passover. Great time to celebrate feasting. With the family during the holidays at Ted's of Beverly Hills. Come on down.
Here at Ted's, we want to put on
guess where? Oh, I
missed. Guess where? Beverly Hills.
Beverly Hills, yeah.
Ted Bell joining us here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're going to get to some phone calls here, Ted, but the question that I have for you is that if you're putting off the serving of alcohol that has happened, ladies and gentlemen, three times in the last 2 weeks, we've had three news stories from different parts of the country, from the Southeast, Florida, the Midwest, Michigan. I think we had another one in the far West. Alcohol just being served inadvertently.
Well, Phil, look, you know, this proves my point. This happens because what happens in these restaurants? The parents come in, and with them, maybe the apple of their eye, but it's not the apple of my eye. All it is a very loud kid. And so I try to make it comfortable.
What did you say, it? You mean the child?
Yeah, I'm sorry, the child. I try to make the child comfortable, make the family comfortable. All right? But at some point, you have to recognize that you can't take it any longer, that the pressure. And when they come in, they'll say things. And my waitresses are put under an enormous amount of pressure. We do a very, very classy steakhouse. We don't have children's menus, but a lot of these families come in and they'll say, oh, excuse me, do you have a kid's menu? And that right there is like it takes years off your life. And
why?
What are you talking about, why? What do you mean, why? Because my servers have been trained to be, they're serving at a classy restaurant. It is not a macaroni grill. It's not the Cheesecake Factory. And
those are very nice restaurants.
Yeah, okay, Phil, you got your plug in. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
All right, no, I know what you're talking about, but I don't understand the whole thing about how it's stressful to have somebody ask you for a children's menu. That part I don't get. Robert in Rapid City, South Dakota, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell. Go ahead, please.
First of all, I'm a father of two sons, and I can't even believe what you're saying. You literally served some kid wine to get them to shut up. How about I just... shake my six-month-old son so he'll shut up? How about I just smack around my kid so they'll shut up?
Hold on for a minute. That'll kill him. That'll kill him. But giving that child a little bit
giving
of alcohol...
Giving him alcohol poisoning will kill him. Are you stupid?
A little bit of alcohol is not killing him. It didn't.
Giving him alcohol poisoning will kill him. Like, do you even hear the words that are coming out of your mouth?
Well, let me ask you this.
Let's give our kids alcohol.
Kid quiet? Why
let's let him start smoking, too.
No wonder the kid doesn't shut up. His old man doesn't. Why don't you keep that kid quiet, and then yourself, too?
Oh, hey, take it easy, Ted, will you?
Well, I'm trying to tell this guy something.
This? If you don't want to serve the parents or the kids, you have the right to refuse service to anybody as a restaurant owner. Get
we are trying, sir. We are trying to be accommodating. We're trying to be accommodating.
Shut down. You shouldn't even open your mouth on the kid because you just sound more ignorant.
You don't have kids. You don't have kids. You're full of crap.
What do you mean he doesn't have kids?
I can tell. He doesn't have any kids. You're out in a parking lot lighting firecrackers tonight. You got bored, so you called me.
Wait a minute. Let's be serious here for a second, okay? I'm going to say something. Hold on. If the man just made a very good point. He said, why not refuse service?
Well, they come into the restaurant, and they order their dinner, and then the kid, after he gets his pie or his apple pie, whatever the hell, then the kid starts acting up, and then the kid's loud. Then my waitresses begin to get stressed out. Then they ask me, do you have chicken tenders?
You, as a restaurant
owner, deserve the
right to get rid of them if they are being that obnoxious. So serve them wine?
All right.
Serve them wine. That's your solution.
All right. Well, all right. Thank you. It's a good point, sir. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with more from Ted Bell and the serving of alcohol to children. That was a mistake, but Bell says, well, you know what? The waiters get so stressed out, sometimes they don't know it, and they're trying to tranquilize the kid.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and our website, philhendryshow.com. Right now there's live streaming video of our show, which is our Phil TV and HD webcast. And you can join us by getting a backstage pass and watching our high-definition video cast of the only radio show in the world that's worth watching, The Phil Hendry Show. With me is Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Before we get to our phone calls, Ted, a couple of points here on serving alcohol to children. And you were mentioning that there's too much stress when the families come in and say, have you got a kid's menu? Do you serve chicken tenders?
Well, hold on. I want to go to this issue of alcohol because every mother listening to me right now, and maybe a lot of fathers know, that it has traditionally been, maybe if you want to call it an old wives' solution or remedy, for a child that is teething, huh? Yeah, when I say the word teething, all of a sudden a lot of mothers out there, they perked up because I just took a call from Marcy. She's listening to the show at home, and she said, you should tell Phil and his audience about this one particular incident. I don't want to get graphic, but we were having a lot of fun. It was right after Josh was born, and we were having a lot of fun. And Marcy took some vodka and put it on a certain part of her body. And after I was finished, she fed Josh. Okay?
And breastfed?
Yes. Right out.
And you had been... I don't think I needed to hear that story.
I don't understand. What I'm trying to tell you...
Well, it sounds a little juvenile.
Juvenile? I'm a married man.
You didn't need to give me the whole background on that, man, okay? We can just talk about how alcohol will put a child out if they're teething, maybe, in your opinion. I didn't need to hear you and Marcy.
Boy. Well, you're just like all the rest. Man, too bad.
That may be too bad. 877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show.
Let's go to Pasco, Washington. This is Melinda. Hi, Melinda. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
Hi.
Hi.
First off, I am not going to call in and yell at anybody, but I just want to simply start out by saying that I worked in the restaurant industry for several years as a waitress, and to say that the restaurant industry and the servers as a whole want to just shut kids up by providing them alcohol is not a correct statement. There may be a few people out there that make some pretty unlawful and stupid decisions to do that, but as a whole, that's not correct. In all
you know that as a food server, I'm the owner of the restaurant. I'm Ted Bell. Mm-hmm. You know that as a food server, it's very stressful to have these families come in and say, do you have a kids menu? Do you have chicken tenders? Do you have this? Do you have that? When they should know. At least in my restaurant, we have a very adult restaurant, and if you bring your children, that's fine, but we're not bending over backwards for your kid. And that causes a great deal of strain with my servers, who find themselves wanting to medicate or tranquilize the child, yes.
Now, I did agree with your previous statement of stating that it is frustrating when a child is being allowed to run around the restaurant and throw food of that, and I understand that. But the answer to that is not to unlawfully provide a alcohol beverage to a child that's not even yours. I mean, first off, I think that if that happens, I think the person that does it should be charged with endangering a child.
You're talking about me now. You're talking about me, the owner of the restaurant. I poured red wine into a sip cup. And I took the back of the kid's head with my hand, and I shoved the sip cup into his head, into his mouth, and basically said, in the name of everything holy, drink, or something like that. They told me later.
What do you mean they told you later?
That's how stressed out we were. I said something like, in the name of God, or in the name of everything holy, drink it.
In front of the parents?
Yes, in front of the people. Boy, oh boy, I can't get... I even got a waitress, and I'm sure, Melinda, you were a very good server, but...
I think the liquor board should come in and take away the liquor license. I think that the person that gave the liquor or the alcohol to the child should be charged with child endangerment, contributing to a minor.
That would be me. That would be me. So you want me to go to jail? That would be me. So you're asking that I go to jail and all of my waiters. And I would say to you, you have not yet indicted the most indictable group, which are the parents that like to sit back, relax, put their feet up on the table, and watch as the fun begins when their kid drives everyone half mad in the restaurant.
Well, I think, Melinda, you sound very, very sober and thoughtful, and I appreciate that. And you also sound like you know the law very well, which, of course, every food server should.
Well, I don't think he sounds aggressive enough, but you should be ready to defend me, the owner, the boss.
I would not, because of the fact that being a server can be stressful. But serving patrons, regardless it's part of the job. And it is the job and profession that one chooses to do.
Right.
If they are
not
able to handle it, then get out of it.
Well, you're just like all the rest.
What does that mean, you're just like all the rest?
If being like all the rest means protecting the children, then I agree with that statement. I am like the rest when it comes to protecting the children.
No,
absolutely,
no,
you are right.
No. Being like all the rest is basically saying to me, the owner of a restaurant, excuse me, do you have chicken tenders? Knowing full well that's like taking a spiked heel and jamming it up into blank, blank, blank.
But asking me if there's something on the menu that's not there would not make me want to.
Melinda, I
got to
go. I appreciate you very much, your call. 877-876-7445.
Well, that was rude. You hung up on that woman.
I'm trying to get through the calls.
Yep. When I'm making a good point, you hang up. And I'm telling you, Phil, and I'm telling your audience, when you have your child come into my restaurant and begin that cacophony, that loud, screaming, wailing, static, single note, I can't describe it. I know that every restaurant owner out there knows it. When you have that happening and you do it willingly, That is the same thing as waterboarding me, you know, and I don't want to be melodramatic.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
I don't want to be melodramatic, but that's what it is. You might as well waterboard me. And so what will I do? What would any sane man do? I look for relief. What kind of relief? I try to tranquilize the animal, and then you realize it's a baby, you know. And so...
What do you mean tranquilize the animal?
What does a hunter do when he goes into the jungle and there's an animal in there that's going to kill him? He hit him with a tranquilizer dart. That's what I do. I see what it is. I try to tranquilize it. And then I realize, wait a minute, it's a human being.
But you still try to tranquilize it.
To the extent that it's... I'm not going to tie it to a pole and carry it back to camp.
877-876-7445 is a bizarre set of comparisons you're making tonight, sir. Here is Nalani, I think, in Hawaii. Hello, Nalani. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. First of all, I have to say I'm a mother of an 18-month-old son. And
yes,
what
ma'am.
I'm hearing right now, it's making me very fierce. I come from, you know, a very nice, laid-back place, but I just can't think right now. I mean, if you say that, you know, mothers give their children booze for cheating. If I want to do that to my son, that's my choice. But
yes, ma'am.
You should leave the decisions up to us. Don't go behind our backs and be giving our children booze in the restaurant. That's not your decision to make.
Well, Nalani, I want to say, this is Ted Bell, first of all, and I want to say that you have a very beautiful name, and your name evokes the very relaxing and beautiful atmosphere that is Hawaii. And we have opened the Ted's of Beverly Hills, by the way, in Honolulu, which we're very excited about. But I wanted to get to the main point. You're right. It is your choice unless you're not doing anything about it. At which time then...
What do you mean, unless she's not doing anything about it?
Don't I have some say in it?
No, that's her child.
Well, I know it's her child, but what I'm trying to say is if Nalani's child has gone into what I call that static siren, that meh, you know what I mean, Nalani?
Yes.
Nalani, okay, so you know when a baby will go, it's one note, and
yes,
that's when I turn and very calmly walk back to the bar. You almost lose your own sense of self. I turn, I walk back to the bar, I lean over, and I tell him to hit me, you know, how about a water back? And then
what are you talking about, man?
I'm talking about...
I don't even know what that is.
I mean, that's why we have laws. If it was okay to give booze to infants and kids, I mean, so I could go around right now. If you had kids, what could I give your kids booze and, you know, get
them?
I would say,
to answer you honestly, if my son was making a racket and he was underage and he didn't understand, he was making a big racket and was driving you to the point of taking your own life and maybe the life of your child, too, in a double suicide. I don't know what you want to call it.
What do you mean double suicide? You know, everything you're saying, Ted, there's not one thing you're saying that has any root in reality.
What are you talking about?
I mean, you're telling this lady, if my son, you're talking about your son, Josh.
Yeah.
If he's driving her nuts to the point of a double suicide.
I'm saying I would give Nalani the choice to, yes, medicate my son with booze if it was that bad.
And
when
that's
has
your
any
choice. But
right.
You can't go around making the choices for other parents. If you want
When
to
has your restaurant when has a kid in your restaurant, Ted, been so loud that you wanted to kill yourself?
How about every other night? When the children come in, Nalani, and not everyone is a beautiful woman like you with a beautiful name coming from Hawaii, and I'm very relaxed. Probably the minute I see you I'd relax. But not with some of these mothers, the minute I see them, I can feel a stroke coming on. I can feel weakness in my left arm. I can feel what I call if you're familiar with the restaurant business, we call it the Kirk, K-I-R-K. Not Captain Kirk, but Kirk Douglas. And you can almost feel yourself start to do that.
Yes, but see, as a waiter, you have a job.
Yeah.
It's your job. And if you can't take the seat and
absolutely.
Stay out of the kitchen.
You're absolutely right, ma'am. But the job I have, I can't do if suddenly I feel myself kirking, you know? And
What is kirking? You could Kirk Douglas, the poor, that great actor who had the stroke?
Yes, and I say it with all due respect. I know Mr. Douglas. But all of a sudden, you're kirking. You can't say what you need to say. And I can tell you it's a frightening moment.
Well, I don't think that any child that you've ever had in your restaurant, I bet you I'm willing to say, has ever pushed you to the point of kirking. Nalani, thank you very much for your call.
Okay,
yes,
thank
dear?
You.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your call. 877-876-7445. As we talk about the serving of alcohol to children, we've had accidental alcohol service, accidental alcohol intake at about three restaurants over the last couple of weeks of children. And when I say children, I mean toddlers at an Olive Garden. Another was an Applebee's and so forth. Ted Bell, the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills, says that this is sometimes something that waiters and waitresses feel they must do because the kid's driving them nuts with their noise and the parents drive them nuts with inane questions like, do you have chicken tenders? So our number is 877-876-7445. We'll be right back here with more. Our final segment with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills on The Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline. Dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. I was familiar with Kirk Douglas. He'd eaten dinner here once, so I feel that I was. It was tasteful for me to mention kirking. But
here at Ted's, we wanna put our meat in your mouth.
Well, you understand what I'm saying, right?
Well, I don't know, Ted. I mean,
don't worry, it's all right.
877. Okay, if it's all right, it's all right. I would not necessarily use that comparison. 877-876-7445. Children and restaurants, and they have been forever more linked, sometimes in very, very happy ways, and other times irritating. Children can run and play and jump and whistle and howl and make noise, and it disturbs diners. Ted Bell is with us, the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills, who said the incidents that we've been reading about and reporting of children being inadvertently or mistakenly served alcohol, it may not be a mistake at all. It is a subconscious or subliminal reaction on the part of the food server to try and calm or quiet down the child. 877-876-7445. Here is Megan on the Phil Hendry Show this evening with Ted Bell. Megan, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm a mom of two, and my youngest is actually extremely ADHD. But there is no way that I would ever condone giving alcohol to a child, because one, that can cause serious problems, and the only place this man should be serving food is in prison. That is just ridiculous. There's no excuse for it. There's other ways you can calm down a child than giving them alcohol.
Like what?
Bring coloring sheets with you. I mean, if it's that big of a deal, bring stuff with you from home.
What if they haven't done that? You're talking about the parents. I'm the restaurant owner. What do you want me to do?
Well, why don't you have those things available?
Parents should do that.
But if it comes down to
either giving a child alcohol or giving him a coloring sheet, I mean, come on.
There is no choice. The parents have not given this child anything other than the encouragement to act that way because they just pumped sugar into him, pumped an ice cream sundae into him.
Ask them nicely to try to calm their child down, or you say, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. I mean, there are other ways to do it.
Well, I went to the, as I think you heard me say, Megan, I went over to our bar. I took a jug of Red Mountain that we had, a table wine. I poured it into the kid's sip cup. I walked back, and I was very calm. But at the very last minute, this is the occupational hazard. I couldn't stand it any longer, and I jammed it into the kid's mouth.
What does that mean, jammed it in?
I took the back of the kid's head and I said, would you shut up? So,
and if I were the parent
that,
right there, I would have stood up and I would have taken the sippy cup and shoved it down your throat.
Oh, so you get to have the kid that screams and yells and causes problems. The minute I try to do something about it, you kick my ass. Thank
That's
you.
Not doing something about
thank
it. That...
Thank you very much. Thank you for that. No, I appreciate it very much. Thank you. You know, I'm trying to operate a business, and you've let your child run
mad. Yeah, and you're doing it in a very criminal manner. I mean, what if that child has an allergic reaction or something? You want to live with that on your conscience? I mean,
what if I get a stroke? What if I get a stroke from your child's behavior? Oh, you didn't think of that, did you? What if I get a stroke? What if I kirk?
Well, then, I mean, get out of the business. Find another job. I mean, seriously, you can't handle it.
Fair. You can't tell. Then why don't you eat at another restaurant? Better yet, why don't you eat at home? You see, I've got an answer for everyone.
No, she is the customer. She's chosen your restaurant. What Megan is saying, no, Ted, she's the customer. You are the restaurant owner. You are the person that should be grateful that she is there, partaking of your fare, and giving you business. So this is not
some
stare down between you and her.
Well, at our restaurant, the customer is not always right. And that's what gives us that cut above service.
Work at a bar or someplace that it's just adults. Because obviously you should not be around children. And if you have children yourself, I recommend that somebody take them away from you.
I have a son who is 16. So
well, I am sorry for your child.
They're more than welcome. Really? You're sorry for my son? He goes to Beverly Hills High School.
Okay.
Now you don't have anything to say, do you? There, see? I told you.
I'm very proud of your
son, what?
But... Seriously, you're wrong. You are extremely wrong. Like, if you were to ever serve my child alcohol, honey, it would be a bad day for you. A very bad day for you.
Well, it's already a bad day for me.
That is not your prerogative. It is not your choice to make. It is against the law, and it is very wrong.
Your child came into my restaurant. That made it a bad day from that point forward. The fact that I gave him alcohol.
Yeah, that's because you choose to let it get to you. You choose to let it get to you.
Ma'am, even if you were to take your high heel off at that point and drive the heel into one of my eyes, the day would be improving over listening to your kid.
Oh, that's an asinine comment to make. And you know full well what the lady is saying. Thank you very much for your call, Megan. 877-876-7445. We're out of time, Ted.
Oh, of course you're out of time. No, I know you're out of time. You're always out of time when I'm about to come with a home run. When I'm about to swing for the fences and the bags are full, and I'm going to park it near the Union 76 ball. Oh, well, gee, we're out of time.
Well, we are out of time.
No, I know that. I know. I know you're out of time, and you always will be out of time every time I have the chance to say something good. Forget it. Right?
We don't even have time for the jingle.
Oh, you bastard.
Phil Hendry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And online at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. A few months ago, and it might even be verging on a year ago, we had a man on our program, Mr. Charlie LaFountain, who's a grandfather and a grandfather and a husband, lives out in the an area here in our area of the world called the Inland Empire. We're in the L.A. area. The Inland Empire is out in the interior of the state in Southern California. They're from Riverside, and he was talking about his granddaughter. Both he and his wife have guardianship over this child, and what they did to protect her from predators. And it's now been a year, and we're going to talk with him a little bit more about this program. And by the way, he was telling us during that broadcast that he had intimidated himself some predators and individuals that they thought were unsavory. I must tell you that we're going to be talking to him this evening from, he is going to be talking to us by way of a cell phone aboard a DC-10. And this is, the story in itself is kind of interesting, and I don't know if you can hear me. Charlie?
I can hear you fine, Bill. This is Charlie LaFontaine here, and we are in a DC-10, which is a passenger aircraft, really, from the 1940s, and my company has recommissioned this particular DC-10 to inaugurate these nostalgia flights over Arizona and New Mexico. In the hopes that we'll attract people, tourists, to enjoy the old ways of flying. And we have even a stewardess, a flight attendant, they were called stewardesses in the old days, serving drinks. It's an experience we hope people enjoy. We happen to be, my wife and I, on board this evening as we're flying our way to Albuquerque, New Mexico.
So it's a DC-3.
It's a DC-3, those are two-engine. The interesting part of flying a DC-3 is you have airplane buffs out there. The DC-3 has two wheels, and so the tail sits on the runway. And in order for the aircraft to get altitude, as it proceeds on the runway, all of the passengers and most of the weight aboard the aircraft must be shifted to the front of the aircraft so that you've got as much weight as possible off the tail section. And that way the tail is going to lift off the ground, and then the passengers can move back to their seats. But it's just part of the interesting experience of flying one.
You know, I flew in a DC-3 once myself.
Did you?
Yeah, it was from Miami to Key West, and it was fun. One of the things about it is you're not very high, right?
You can get, the elevation can get 10 to 15,000 feet. Generally, we will have it at about 1,000 feet or less, just so people can look at the scenery and
yeah, because we flew over we flew out of Miami and went right down the Keys.
Well, that must have been gorgeous.
Yeah, it was very beautiful, and we're flying over the Keys, looking at the ocean, and landed at Key West, and it was a lot of fun. But we're here to talk a little bit about your granddaughter, right?
Well, yes, we are. I apologize because we had this scheduled, and I was told by Jim Sebastian, who is my vice president of operations, that we were going to have this flight this evening, and so I'm hopeful, Phil, that it won't be too distracting.
Not at all, sir. So your granddaughter, who was and still is in your home, and you have guardianship over this young lady, and by the way, what is her name?
My granddaughter's name is Roberta, and she is a 14 now. She was 13 when I first talked to you about her.
But why do you and your wife have not custody?
It's guardianship and custody is the same thing. We've not adopted her, but we are the official guardians of this child. And the reason why is because her mother had a series of episodes. Her mother has a mental condition, a psychotic condition, I guess, a schizophrenia.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, you know, she's been hospitalized. We have her on medication now. She's an outpatient, but we don't feel that this is the time for her and her daughter to be reunited, although they see each other. I felt it was best that we took the child in hand and had her in our home, because there's no telling, you know, if you've got a parent that is, you know, it's not healthy enough to take care of a child.
No explanation necessary, sir. My hat is off to you and your wife at this time in your life. Any grandparent that takes a child in and raises a child, man, they've got endless respect for me.
Well, I appreciate that, Phil. It's a heck of a thing. There's no question about it, having to take in your own children. Are unable to be parents, and then you have to take in these children. And more, it seems to be the case with a lot of people in my generation, my age group, that we're having to raise kids because people your age, no comment on you, Phil, but people your age are just not capable of, there's a lot of drug use, there's a lot of drug addicts, there's a lot of, I guess, alcoholism, there's violence and mental illness, and It's a horrible situation. So I took my my granddaughter and I said that we're going to keep this child safe.
All right. Now, I had you on my show last year, Charlie.
Yes.
Talking about what your philosophy was in keeping kids safe from predators. And at that time, you said that it was a simple matter of making the child as unattractive as possible. And you know you took a lot of static.
Listen, Phil, if there's one thing I've taken in my life, it's a lot of static. But Charlie the Fountain, I stand by. Charlie the Fountain stands by what he says and what he does. And I would tell you that when Charlie the Fountain says something, Charlie the Fountain is going to stand stone still next to what I say. And a lot of people say that that's inflexible. I think a lot of people say that it's almost unhealthy. But I call myself a cigar store Indian. And the reason why I call myself that is because once I say something, then I'll stand next to that idea as if I'm a cigar store Indian. You can't move me. You could take an axe and chop at me. And, of course, I'm being figurative here.
No, but I get your idea.
Yeah, right. And so I'm... I am the philosophical... That's what the guys call me, because we meet every morning, myself, and there's about three or four other guys that... that I know from the neighborhood and so forth, and we meet every morning at Denny's. We have the slam, whatever they call that, breakfast, and they say, here comes Charlie, the cigar store Indian. And I say, you know what, I take that as a compliment.
All right, so tell me about your granddaughter.
I'm sorry to go on, Phil, I apologize.
No, that's okay, it's okay. I think it's cool, you're meeting with your buddies in the morning. Tell me about your daughter, your granddaughter, and what you did, and what you talked to us about, and how it went.
Well, the philosophy is a very simple one, Phil. You take a child like this, and she's not old enough to be dressing up and going out in this nonsense. She's a little girl, so you don't have to worry about this nonsense about, oh, she's got to smell pretty and look pretty because... No. We encouraged Becky to eat. We encouraged her to... eat pancakes and this kind. She put some weight on. She's going to get the weight off. And she broke out, and that will end as well. But for this period in her life, we decided that for her to put on some weight, to have a little bit of bad skin, to not bathe, to not, in other words, to be repugnant as much as possible. Now, that's not to say that she's unhealthy. There's a big difference between not having hygiene. And what people will say to me, well, this is the most terrible thing I've ever heard, and they'll go on and on. I'll say, what would you rather have, a nice-smelling dead kid?
And see, that's kind of language, though, you know.
Well, I understand that, but it gets people's attention.
To say, would you rather have, because I read that, would you rather have a nice-smelling dead kid or a kid that you said smells like a dead body but is alive?
Yes, I use those words very, very specifically because I wanted people to understand what we're dealing with. What are the stakes when our children have these predators and they're everywhere? You know, the stakes are you'll have a dead kid that smells real good in a party dress, or you've got a living granddaughter that stinks your car out, literally. And that's what I said, and I stand by that.
All right, Charlie the Fountain with us. Hold on, Charlie, and how's the plane ride?
It's absolutely comfortable. I got some coffee here. I might even have a cocktail. I'm not sure. We are due into Albuquerque probably within the hour. And we're just having a very, very, very beautiful evening this evening, Phil, over the desert.
All right, Charlie the Fountain with us aboard a DC-3 flying to Albuquerque, New Mexico this evening. Our number is 877-876-PHIL as we're going to continue this discussion of the way Charlie and his wife deal with their granddaughter. And the threat of predators. The girl is basically allowed to put on weight, not bathe. A lot of things that just make the kid, as Charlie said, stink and be repulsive. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. I'll be right back with Charlie the Fountain after this.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
A little bit.
And it's we're talking with Charlie the Fountain here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. It's fun to listen to. Literally, you're inside this DC-3, which is a propeller-driven aircraft over New Mexico tonight. Is it noisy?
No, it's not really noisy, Phil. And I know what you mean by there's a lot of propeller-driven aircraft, prop jobs, as we call them. They can get very noisy. It depends certainly on the kind of fuselage. The DC-3, McDonnell Douglas built the DC-3 with a certain kind of insulation in their fuselage using the same, I don't know what the word is that they use in recording studios, but using the same kind of...
Well, is it baffling?
Well, it's not, but we can use that word. I forget, but they use that inside the fuselage itself, and they also use a component that is called dusting. It's a it's not a fabric. It's not a material so much as it's a process of the manufacturing of fuselage that further insulates. And so it's rather quiet. I know you can probably hear the engines. And a moment ago we hit some turbulence, and there's nothing like turbulence in a DC-3 because you can feel it. It's not even it's more dramatic, I think, than even a smaller propeller-driven plane.
All right, Charlie, let's talk about your daughter. So, your granddaughter, I mean.
Yes, our granddaughter, Becky.
Okay. Her name is Roberta.
Yeah, so when we called her Becky, she didn't want to be Berta. She didn't show like that, so we said, well, we'll use her. We'll call her Becky. Whoa, there was another one there.
Where are they?
Yeah, I'm traveling with some of the guys. I've got some of the guys here, Phil, from my unit in Korea. I was in the 8th Air Force, and we were stationed in a place called, which today, you know, there's no military base in France. We were in Bordeaux, France, though, and we had the 8th Air Force. And I've got some of my guys. How are you feeling a bit?
Very interesting.
That's Vit Jackson, Phil.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm very good.
Tell Mr. Henry how you like the flight.
Yeah, it's been very interesting, sir. And, of course, being an old Air Force guy.
All right, let me,
So these are all Air Force buddies.
Yeah, they're Air Force guys from the old days, right?
All right, your granddaughter then, sir, beginning last year to keep these predators away, you let her just kind of not bathe. How did she feel about that?
She's a kid. I think there's a misnomer, Phil, when you talk about girls. Oh, yeah, I just felt that one. We got some...
Whoa!
Wow, that was a big one. We just hit a big bump. We go over, find out if we're going over a weather pattern and have the pilot fly above it.
Okay.
Find out if we're going over a weather pattern and have the pilot fly above it.
Okay.
I said to find out if we're going over a weather pattern and have the flyer pilot. Find out if we're going over a weather pattern.
That was very interesting.
Hold on.
Well, hey, Charlie, stay with me, man.
I'm sorry, Phil. I just wanted to. Wait a minute. We hit some turbulence. Oh, boy. Have you ever been through turbulence, Phil, where it feels like the plane just dropped about 3,000 feet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's very common.
Yeah, that's just what happened right there. So I asked the flight attendant, Karen, find out if we're going over a weather pattern and if we've got to paint the plane. I can't even say it right. I'm so nervous.
Well, here, I'll do it.
Now, give me the phone back, Ben, please. So, these guys have been drinking, Phil, and I apologize.
So let's get back to your granddaughter.
Yes, my granddaughter, who I love dearly, but I said to her, honey, for your own good, I'd appreciate it very much if you wouldn't bathe or wash, brush your teeth, or use mouthwash for these specified periods. Now, I don't want my granddaughter walking around stinking like a goat, but I think that in the summer months, when the kids are out and they're more at risk. And you remember, Phil, I started this last summer.
Right. I remember, because the kids are going to be out of the house, and they're going to be at the beach, and they're going to be on their own a lot.
That is correct, right. So I said, I'd appreciate it very much. And my granddaughter, to her benefit, I said, honey, you know what's going on. And her friends started doing it. I talked to Cynthia and Pat McMichaels, the friends of mine, and they've got their granddaughter, and some of the parents. And we all got into this. And I did some carpooling to the pool, and I can tell you that if you love your children, you can put up with anything. And I had four of them in the car, and this was last July as we were going over to the public pool over here in San Bernardino. And I said to the girls, get into the car, and I love my granddaughter so much, and I will be honest with you, my wife's here, and you remember, right?
Yeah.
The smell in that car, and I understand, Phil, it was a round trip, probably 100 miles.
A round trip, 100 miles to go from Riverside to San Bernardino? That seems like an awfully long...
We were picking up... Why was it a 100-mile round trip? I took surface streets, that's right. I don't know why. I guess they were doing construction. And now that solves the problem. I'm glad I'm talking to you, Phil. I wondered why it was I put myself... I said it smelled because you've got these four little girls that haven't bathed, they haven't brushed their teeth for weeks, and not only that, but they're eating anything they want, so their skin's lousy, they're big, and you've got to get these little kids into the car, and you're squeezing them in, and then the odor. I keep going back to the odor. So in any event, and boy, I'm remembering it now.
You talking about your granddaughter?
Yes, I am. Hold on, Vin. I got one of my buddies. So, we just did some more turbulence, Phil. We just did some more turbulence.
Are you guys okay?
Yeah, we're fine, but I'm trying to get the flight attendant. Find out if we're hitting a pentawatton and why the pilot won't fly over. I'm sorry, I'm messing it up.
Find out if it's a weather pattern.
I know how to talk. I can find out if it's a weather pattern and if the pilot's panning. Okay. So, in any event, Phil, I said to Becky, I said, we'll go to the plunge, and I think I took surface streets that day because, I don't know why, I had an episode, I guess. I have these episodes where I forget, and so I'm just driving aimlessly, that might have been it. And
You have episodes where you forget?
Yes, I do, and the doctor said to me he hopes it isn't a harbinger of Alzheimer's, but sometimes I'll forget and I will just drive. And drive for miles.
All right, we're talking here with Charlie the Fountain. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Got some people on the line, some parents on the line who want to talk to you. Steve Dooley is checking in from Western Estates. Steve, how are you?
Yeah, good, Mr. Henry. Tell the man here, you hear me?
Say that again, sir.
I wanted to ask you, my wife's body, Dooley, we have a... Her teachers?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You recommend that the kid stinks like that, and we live in a gated community, you know?
I understand, sir.
And I got a kid that smells, you know, like seven shades of you-know-what. You can't have that walking around.
Well, the advice I give to people who live in gated communities where you have to have a certain decorum, and I understand that, sir. Believe me, I understand. The children have to have a certain decorum and a presentation. You can't have a kid walking around smelling like a dung heap. Right?
No, that's it.
And so I would say, in a gated community, you have less of a threat of this kind of predator. So the kids can probably get them to take a bath a little more often. But I wouldn't run the risk. I wouldn't run the risk at all. Of having these kids smelling, you know what they like to say in the commercials, and I hate these commercials, and I've written to the networks, kissing soft, or they smell like a daisy or something like that. Yeah, I'll bet they smell like a daisy. I bet you they smell real good as they put them in a pine box.
That's what I'm trying to say, you know. And my wife, the whole idea of a kid stinking it out.
I understand, sir.
All right, let's take a break, okay?
Yeah, let's take a break. Oh, God, help me.
What is going on?
It's just turbulence. Don't worry about it. Did that go out over the air?
Did what go out over the air?
When I asked God to help me?
Yes, it did. Anyway, 877-876-7445, the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with Charlie the Fountain and more of your phone calls right after these messages.
It smells bad.
I understand, sir. I can't do anything about your kid.
Scrub it down.
Phil Hendry. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
happening again.
Phil Henry Show, Charlie.
Yeah, it just we had a little bit of turbulence, and I look, Phil. I was in the Air Force, so this is, you know, I'm fine with it, but damn,
that's a big one.
Vince here with his wife. I've got some of the guys I told you, Phil, from my Air Force outfit and a squadron I was in Bordeaux, France, and we've been hitting some turbulence here. Yeah, that had ever. Oh boy.
Was that more?
Yeah. I want to speak with you more and more and more and more about my granddaughter and what we're doing in Riverside and in the Bailey Park area of Riverside, where my wife and I live, in protecting our grandkids from the predatory nature of some of these fruits, and not fruits, but the poverts. But I'm having to deal with this aircraft today. God.
Woo!
See, that was another one. We just dropped about 3,000 feet. Tell the pilot to take it easy, will you please?
Okay, are you distracted?
It's a little distracting, yeah. It's a little distracting. I was an Air Force pilot, and to have, for me to sit here and worry about whether I'm going to, and I've been sitting here talking about my daughter, my granddaughter, and other granddaughters, smelling as bad as they do in order to keep these predators away, and I am frightened I'm going to arrive in Albuquerque. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to stink.
Why is that? Oh, never mind.
Yeah, okay. I don't need to spell it out, do I?
No, never mind. Well, let's, I tell you what, take some phone calls. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking here with Charlie DeFountain, and we are discussing what he and other neighbors of his instituted last summer, which is to protect their kids from the predators by making the children physically unappealing. And I got to tell you, I heard a lot of people say that it's completely wrong-headed. Let me go to a phone call.
Well, you're hearing people saying it's wrong-headed. Why?
Well, we can discuss it. Austin, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil, how you doing? This is Austin, Phil, and this man that you're talking to, I heard him on your program last year, and I remember him saying that this was a foolproof way. You ever using those words, sir?
What happened there?
I'm sorry. Hold on for a minute, will you? Hold on. What is that? We hit more turbulence.
Well, yeah, you're hitting turbulence, all right, because I think the turbulence, sir, if you want my honest opinion, is I think you've got a turbulent life. I think your life and the way you think about things, the way that you process things, I think is turbulent. I think there's turbulence between your ears.
Well, you can make all the jokes you want, sir, but I can tell you this. That my granddaughter has never been approached or attacked, or she's safe.
Well, of course she's safe, but that could have a lot to do with a lot of different things, you know.
Well, all right, you can speculate all you want, but my point is
your point is what, sir? You're spending more time worrying about that aircraft.
Are you, sir, we are hitting some turbulence. We're in a DC-3.
No, I've been listening to you on the broadcast. As the plane hits turbulence, I'm listening to you crying and moaning. And
I don't think I'm crying and moaning.
Hey, that's the baby.
Yeah, well, who's that?
Hold on. You got a lot of noise going on there, Charlie, that we need to kind of filter out. So what's your point, sir, the gentleman calling?
Well, sir, my point is this. I agree with you, and it was something that I had addressed last year. I talked to this man. I said, that is a completely idiotic way of protecting a child, because children, a pervert, and these individuals that prey on children, they don't care what the kid smells like. That's got nothing to do with anything. And
you know, I heard that argument.
Hold on for a minute, sir, if you don't mind. They don't care what the kid smells like. And the reason why I know that is because my own uncle was put into prison for this very thing. And I can tell you, it was an absolute black day on the honor of our family when my uncle was put in prison.
Your uncle was in prison for abusing children?
That is correct, little young ladies.
So in other words, that makes you an expert?
No, sir, it doesn't make me an expert. But even my uncle will tell you who was in prison for some 18 years, even he'll tell you that what they smell like, it doesn't make no never mind to him. You know, he'll tell you they can smell like the back end of a cow on a blazingly hot and humid day in Florida. Like at about, say, 2 o'clock, 2:30, you know, just before it rains, when the...
All right, we understand. We understand.
You really have an image in your mind, sir, and if you're comfortable with that. No, I'm not comfortable with it. I'm not comfortable. You're the one that wants a kid to stink like that. And I don't think it's right, and I don't think it's going to solve any problems. And I talked to you last year about it.
I don't remember, sir, and that's not to disrespect you, but I can assure you, sir, I have a granddaughter that I love her. Do you have children, sir?
Yes, I do. I've got two sons, and they're very small. These are two boys.
Well, I'm talking more about these young ladies.
Well, that's what I mean. You don't know what you're talking about. You know, are you going to make do the boys stink it out?
No, because I don't know about the boys. If they wanted to, but I'm talking about my daughter, my granddaughter.
You keep calling her your daughter. Is she your daughter or your granddaughter?
She's my daughter and my granddaughter, all right?
Wow.
What does that mean?
Never mind, please. Never mind. There was more turbulence. Hey, well, I don't care about the turbulence. I want you to explain that last line.
What does that mean, she's your daughter and your granddaughter?
If I tell you, I'm in the middle of turbulence, and now I have spilled inadvertently a family something.
Yeah, you didn't. I did. I'm afraid I did.
Mr. Henry, is there any way I can tell you this off the air?
No, you can't tell me off the air. I don't want to hear if it's what I think it is, and it must be. No, I don't want to hear it.
Mr. Henry, most men never have to face the fact that given the right time and the right place, they're capable of anything.
Now, what is this, Chinatown?
Yeah, I thought I recognized that. I thought I recognized a line from Chinatown, and that's what it is. It's not called Chinatown. It's called Chinatown.
Well, what are you quoting Chinatown for?
I don't know. But
get out of here. Thank you very much, sir, for your call. Not you. 877-87. Why are you quoting Chinatown?
Mr. Henry, there comes a time in every phone conversation with anybody that you've got to get rid of the guy. I don't know what the guy's point was.
That's why you said that?
Yeah, so you get pissed off and throw him off the line. I don't know. I'm trying desperately. Mr. Henry, this is now becoming something that I cannot control, and my bladder... Yeah, look at that. I have lost control of some of my bodily functions because of this turbulence. Now, I will tell you, I don't want the impression given to anybody that's listening.
You know, are we talking about your granddaughter or not, and what exactly is happening aboard that aircraft?
I told you that we have very bad turbulence.
I understand that, but are you going to crash?
I don't know. We're not going to crash, and I wish you wouldn't say that because it's a little bit of a superstition that you don't want to talk about.
Just did it again. You feel that?
Yeah, I did. It almost went down about 10,000 feet.
Yeah, fellow, you feel that one, Red?
Okay, are you with me here, Charlie?
I'm with you, but... I'm very confused, and I'm extremely anxious, and I couldn't stand talking to that caller any longer, so I had to come up with something that would create such a shock that you'd need to throw him off the air, because just as I was commencing my conversation with that man, I had told you that I was afraid that I would not have full control over my physical faculties, and I... Yeah... So I've got to get up and clean myself up.
Well, you know what? If things are that bad aboard that aircraft, I think we're done with this conversation.
Why?
Because we're not making any sense anyway, okay? The last caller you had on the line, you know...
That guy was a pain in the ass. I didn't want to talk to him. He talked to me last year. All he wanted to do was call up and argue with me. I want people on this talk show that I can lecture. I don't want people to debate with me. What the hell do you think I am, anyway?
An open-minded guy.
Well, forget it.
877-877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Rudy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show, sir.
Yes, sir.
Bill, and good evening to the gentleman. I wanted first of all, I wanted to say that I'm appreciative of this broadcast tonight because I think it's important to keep the children safe. Secondly, I want to say that I hope you are safe aboard the aircraft, sir, because it sounds a bit shocking or heart-stopping, you know.
Well, I can tell you that it's not been the easiest ride, sir, but we're going to survive.
You are saying that you want to not to give a child a bath or a cleanliness or whatever it is, so that the pervert is not going to be attracted to the child.
Yes, sir, that is the thinking, and my granddaughter this summer hasn't bathed since the end of May, and I can tell you she's right.
Oh, my God, you know.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you. I told you.
Yes, but sir, what if the child is the child has their own self-respect, you know?
What are you talking about? I'm talking about a 14-year-old child. She hasn't bathed since the end of May. She stinks like an open sewer. But that child is safe, and that's all I care about. That's all I care about. And I don't care. You can say what you want, but that child is safe.
Okay, so in other words, you think the perverts are not going to harm the children if they stink?
That is exactly correct.
May I say this to you, sir? Although my experience is with women, I would never be with a child because I am not a sick individual. But I'm going to tell you this, that I have been with some women in my life that smell like a cow. And you know what I mean by cow?
Yes, I think I know what you mean by a cow.
I have been with cows. I have been literally cows, not a four-legged cow. I've been with a two-legged cow.
All right, before you go on, Rudy, I don't want anybody getting the idea that we're comparing perverts who are mentally unbalanced, who have got a sociopathy, all kinds of problems, who are a danger to kids, and you wooing women.
No, I don't. I think you misunderstand. That's a very good point, Mr. Henry. I think this guy's coming on here to talk about, you were going to, you know.
Well, I think what you're going to say here, Rudy, is, well, hey, the smell never bothered me.
Why can't I say that? I'm not trying to, because it doesn't apply to what you're talking about.
You're talking about normal heterosexual relating between a man and a woman, okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, see, but no, it's not that normal.
Okay, it ain't that normal, but we're talking, on the other hand, we're talking about a crime being committed.
But let me say, I'm not, you're right, and I agree with you, but still, the only point I'm trying to make here, you know, is that, well, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say you can put up with any kind of a stink so long as it's a female.
I didn't say that either. I said I can put up with any. Well, I...
But look, I don't want to talk about this. I don't. It's got nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Hey, look at that, Phil. Hey, the guy said the GD. Well, I came on the program. What to see? Oh, go cry. Go cry on somebody else's shoulder, okay? Cesar Romero.
I think that is a cheap shot. You know that?
I don't care what you think.
I think that is a cheap shot to call me Cesar Romero. I came on the program with good... And by the way, Cesar Romero, who is a great star...
Well, you're going to start to tell me about the Latin film industry now, all the great stars? I couldn't be more bored. But I'm going to say to you... And by the way, Cesar Romero was gay. How's that feel?
I heard on this program last hour that they wanted to beat each other up, these two men. I would love to beat you up.
You'd like to beat me up. The only problem is actually doing that. And that would be a big one.
Speaking of big ones, you go ahead. We'll lay it on the bar. And you and I...
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I can't.
877-876-7445 here on the Phil Henry Show. All right, so we get rid of that caller. Thank you. All right, so we're going to take a break because we are way late for our break. And are you doing okay in the aircraft there, Charlie?
No, I'm not doing okay in the aircraft. I told you. I went ahead and soiled everything. The seat, the pants, the underwear, my shoes, some of my luggage. Because why? I'll tell you why. Because I had to fly to Albuquerque tonight at a TV.
877-876-7445. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
No. We're off the air.
That's no fair.
world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I'm praying to God. All I can do is pray to God.
What about faith?
All you can do is pray to God. That's all I'm telling you.
Have I bought it?
No, they're not going to buy it. But all you can do now, all any of us can do, if you listen to me, is just get on your knees and pray to God. Pray to God. Ask God, please let us land the plane safely. And
we're on the air now, okay?
We're on the air. Hold on. We're on the air. Back on the air. I wish you'd tell me that we're on the air, Phil, because I was just telling everyone.
No, we heard what you were saying.
Right. And I didn't. I was telling everyone to pray.
Are you afraid the plane isn't going to land safely?
I'm worried, and I've always had a fear of flying.
You were in the 8th Air Force, and you have a fear of flying.
Yes. Now, let me explain that. There is nothing unusual about that. Okay, we're all right. There's nothing unusual.
What happened then?
We hit some turbulence.
So you react to turbulence in that manner?
Yes.
I knew somebody like you. My old partner in radio, we used to fly places for our radio show. And one time we flew to Europe, a couple times we flew to Europe. And every time there was a bump, he almost came out of his skin.
Mr. Henry, I am not that bad. I was in the Air Force.
Well, you were in the Air Force, but you have a fear of flying.
Yes, I have a fear of flying, and I joined the Air Force, if you'll let me finish a point for the first time in this GD show of yours.
Well, if you feel that way, sir...
All right, don't get your... Look, don't start pulling your skirt up and looking for a place to squat. All I'm trying to say...
Wait, hey, well, hold the phone here, man. You're the guy that's getting upset.
I'm not getting upset. I'm saying I had a fear of flying, which I still have. That's why I joined the 8th Air Force, and I was very... Oh, no. That's fast. Okay, that was another piece of turbulence. And the reason why I joined the Air Force...
Hold on for a minute. That was you going through turbulence.
Okay, we just did a bump. We're all right. What?
Your reaction to turbulence is way over the top.
Excuse me. I said I defeated... Do you know what it's like to be able to defeat a fear like that? And to man up and to look a fear in the eye and defeat it the way I did by joining the 8th Air Force? Okay, no problem. And
did you fly aircraft?
What's that?
Did you... What's that? A thing that flies?
No, I know what you mean. What did you say?
Did you fly the aircraft?
Did I fly them? No, I was a mechanic. I was on the ground. But just hold the phone because I know where you're going. I was in the Air Force, wasn't I?
Yes, but you didn't fly airplanes.
It doesn't matter. I was in the... No, please, God, don't... Please, God, don't let me... Okay, we're good. I know I'm having a...
You're having some of the most extreme reactions to turbulence I've ever heard. You're going, please, God.
You are making a bigger issue out of it than you have to. Can we just continue the conversation and not pay attention to my reaction?
Go ahead.
What I was saying was this.
No. Okay.
What I was saying was this.
God.
Excuse me. What I was saying was this. I was in the Air Force, okay? I manned up, and I defeated my fear of flying by joining the Air Force. You're asking me, did I actually fly aircraft?
No, I don't want to die!
No, we're all right. You're asking me...
I can't stand this. I can't listen to this. We're not having a normal conversation.
Why don't you just ignore my reactions and see those as a man facing his fear? I'm on the airplane right now. Am I screaming?
No, but every time you guys hit turbulence...
That is a spoke.
Sounds like a monkey.
Yeah.
All right, we're good. What happened?
You just went into a whole chimpanzee routine.
Oh, bull crap.
That's exactly what you did. You want to ask Bud?
I'll ask Bud. I'll ask a guy with part of his brain missing.
You did. You sounded just like a monkey.
Well, Bud, I don't want to tell you what you sound like, but it's got a tail, too, and it swings from trees. Oh, man. God, I hate life. I really hate life.
And where's your granddaughter tonight?
And wouldn't you like to know?
Nope. Are you kidding me?
Why are you asking?
I'm asking because I'm wondering who's taking care of the kid.
Well, okay. Her mother.
Her mother, who's got the psychotic drug problem.
The drug problem isn't psychotic. She is. Oh, that's right.
No.
See, now you feel bad about leaving her with her mother.
Oh, it was turbulence. Now, anyway,
get out of here. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show with our News and Information Hour coming up.
I want to die, I don't 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 want to die. I do want to die.
Phil Henry.